Did you know that the marriage rate in the United States has decreased by 60% over the last 50 years? Well, where are these people going? Well, the young adults don't feel the pressure to marry, and cohabitation has gone through the roof. And so when we see stats that people will say, well, divorce rate is down partly because there's not as many marriages. Why? We know that what's really disturbing is we know that a survey done just last year in 2023, the American Family Survey, found that the belief that marriage is essential is declining. Which is not a surprise, frankly, when you look at the culture in which we live. And of course, we believe here and we teach that marriage, the Bible says it, the marriage is a beautiful picture of God's love for the church. And that thing has been so messed up, that picture in our culture. It's not a surprise that people are struggling at times to understand about God's love, if that's supposed to be a picture. Now, that's the negative side. The positive side is there's a lot of people getting married, and marriages can work. And I want to speak to those of you, two groups today, those of you who are saying, hey, ours is working. Maybe we struggled. Maybe we went down a bad course, but we're working. And here's one thing that's made a difference in our marriage that you can share with someone in the other category who's saying, well, not so much for us. We're struggling in our marriage today. Or for someone who's thinking about getting married. Love to have you share your comments. We got callers for the show, but your comments on our storyline would always be welcome at 888-888-1717. Let's go first to Sophia in Arizona. Hi there. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good. Terrific. I appreciate your call. What's your one thing for your marriage?
My one thing for my marriage is Christ.
How does
without
that play
him,
out?
I could have, without him, I will not be able to face everyday's situation. Without his teachings in the Bible that he gives us, that he left for us to learn, we couldn't face tomorrow, the Bible says.
That's right.
And we have to put our trust in the Lord and serve our husband, my husband. I serve him with the love of God. Without the love of God, I will not be able to look at him every day with loving him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because God is love, and he teaches us to love our husbands. And vice versa. So I give every day thank you to God and ask him to work in me so I could reflect the love of God to him. My husband is a non-believer.
Wow.
I am married with him for 34 years.
Yeah.
We have gone up and down, and he, until this day, does not believe in Christ. But there's some days that he tells me, you know, I see Christ in you. I see how you walk with him. And for me, that is great because I know that he's watching.
Serious.
And I have to do my part as what the Lord tells me to do. The part that he wants me to do is to love my husband. And that's what I do because everything else is added.
That's right.
The conversations, the going out, the taking care, everything else adds up because the Lord is in my heart and I could give it to him.
Amen. Pray for Sophia and for many of you as well who are married to a person who is not yoked, as the Bible says. You're not a believer, not on the same page spiritually. And of course, what I hear in Sophia's voice is a tenderness to say every day, I trust Christ. Listen, if you're married to a non-believer today, your job is not to be the Holy Spirit. It's not your job to get them saved. It's your job to be who God's intended for you to be a good spouse, be willing to serve, do the right thing. But boy, it can be tough because at the core of our life is our values and our belief. And of course, at the core of that is our faith. And when you don't share that intimate part of your life with your spouse, there can be a vacuum there that can be very difficult. And you know that. But Sophia gave you the formula, staying close to Christ is the key. All right. Thank you for that, Sylvia. And I know people will be praying for you. You can join us. 888-888-1717 is the number. I would love to have you be a part of the show. Destiny? Tim. Oh, I'm sorry. Tim, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Thank you for your call. Go right ahead. What's your one thing?
Well, my one thing is just realizing that every single day counts and every single day matters, and you have to take it as seriously as that, be intentional about it. After 33 years of marriage, we just recently found my wife was diagnosed with cancer, and that realization has made a dramatic difference in our relationship.
Mm. And in what ways?
Just like you don't get to take anything for granted. You never know. And so just knowing that today, making today special, making today intentional, not taking things for granted, all of those kind of things all of a sudden seem to have so much weight and purpose behind them. And the beauty of them and the importance of them is demonstrated itself to be productive, fruitful.
Mm. How long have you been married, Tim, did you say?
33 years.
33 years. All right. Being aware of every day is special. It's a gift. The mindfulness that it is a gift from God, it's a powerful thing. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate your call.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
I turn on Intentional Living with my husband, and just whatever has come up that day have just been spot on to what we were going through at that moment.
Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson made a difference in Felicia's life and marriage. And when you give, you help people like Felicia live an intentional life for Christ.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets unlimited access to content from Dr. Randy's exclusive monthly teachings from the past 2 years.
So don't wait. Give now and get Dr. Randy's exclusive teachings whenever you want.
To give and receive these life-changing resources, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And boy, thank you for doing that. Your support matters. You're keeping us going. You're putting the fuel in the tank. And so you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or you can go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate. Join us. And by the way, before we wrap up the month here, the book Freedom from Hijacked Emotions, our gift to you, along with the study guide and the videos, access to the online videos, when you join us in monthly support. At $1 a day makes a big difference. Could you do that? We'd appreciate it. And of course, all the teaching online as well. How do you do that? Go to theintentionallife.com or, as I said, call 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Jessica, and I live in Tucson, and I'm listening to your talk show right now on marriage and forgiveness, and I wanted to share a story about my marriage and forgiveness. I've been with my husband for 10 years, and I had been holding a very deep, deep, dark secret that I was terrified to tell him because it would have put our marriage on the line and it could have potentially destroyed our marriage. Well, a couple years ago, God prompted me to finally tell him of that secret. And I went in believing that we would end up in divorce after the conversation. But instead, my husband gave me a huge hug and cried with me and told me that he forgave me. And the way that he forgave me was just the way that Jesus would forgive us. It completely changed my entire outlook on forgiving others and being able to forgive. Not only did it free me of my burden of carrying the secret, but it also bonded us on a whole new level and gave our marriage something that it didn't have before. It is now so much easier for me to love and forgive people the way that Jesus forgave us and loved us and the way he wants us to live.
Isn't that great? What a story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Jessica, today. And by the way, before we move on, I would encourage you, I want to linger for a moment on Tim's call, reminding us to live every day. It's a special day. And in their marriage and their family right now, with the challenges they're facing health-wise, it's a reminder. When we face these health challenges, sometimes it's a giant wake-up call. The preciousness of the day. As the psalmist tells us, that we are to number our days that we can have a heart after wisdom. Number your days so you'll be smart enough to enjoy the day that God's given you, because we have no promise of tomorrow. We have today. All right, we're talking about married. Let's go. Amy is in Arizona. Hi, Amy. How are you today?
Hi, Dr. Randy. So my husband and I have been married over 40 years, and when we were still dating, we sat down with each other. We told each other what it was about our previous relationships that went bad and why, and how we expected to be treated and how we expected to treat the other person. Excuse me. Also, when we get angry, rather than saying things that we shouldn't say or saying hurtful things or whatever, we just be quiet. We let the mad get over with. And then when we're calm, cool, and collected, then we can go back and revisit the situation and why we were arguing and be able to talk about it instead of talk about it and yell about it and scream about it and say things we don't want to. So, and those have been two very important things in our marriage.
Okay, tell me a little bit about when you guys were dating, you just laid out your story. Your history.
We did. We told each other what went wrong with the previous relationship that we had had, and how we expected to be treated and how we expected the other person to treat us. And I mean, I think that that was probably the number one thing. And when we did this, you know, we cried together over our previous relationships and their failures and how it hurt the other person, and kind of got to see what the what my husband's, you know, feelings were and what really hurt him, and it's, I mean, I think it was a very, very important thing. Yeah. And I tell everybody that I know, couples, people, kids that are dating, our own kids, about what we did in the beginning. And I just think it's something that everybody should do.
Well, you know, we talk about clearing the air, kind of that sense of that stuff's out there. Let's clear it. And I think you're really wise. In fact, you hit on one of the things we tell people in counseling regularly in our conferences. I linger on this topic of expectations. And I tell people, if you could sit down and write out, here are 4, 5, 6 expectations I have of our marriage, and share the list and talk about it and be honest with each other. And that's what you did. Because some of the expectations will be, oh, that's an aha moment. I didn't know you expect that. Others will be, oh, absolutely, no problem at all. And some will be, I just can't do that. Because we may have an expectation of another person in a relationship that they cannot meet. And it better be known before you get married than afterward. Because afterward, at least if you're disappointed, it's your own fault. Because they told you. And so this sense of being honest with each other, and now if you are married, to do the same thing, to get it on the table, talk about it, clarify those expectations, be clear about them, can be very powerful. All right, thank you, Amy. That's really good stuff. All right, we're talking about one thing for marriage. Let's go next to Kristen. What's your one thing?
It's definitely communication. My husband and I have been together for nearly 11 years, married, and then together for 16. But early on, we decided communication is very important, so much so that I have a minor in communication, and he went to school to take classes in communication so we could learn how to properly communicate with each other
Well, you know, a lot of people don't do that. Communication is a key to marriage. Is it a process that you go through? Can you give a couple tips of what you've learned that in practical ways to help you communicate?
When we communicate, we really try to listen to understand, not listen to defend. So sometimes when we're listening to a spouse, in Corinthians it says love is kindness, love is patient, love is all of these things, but sometimes you're not patient with your spouse and those, you know, things pop up, and when they're not kind or they're not patient, first thing you want to do is you want to defend, right? You don't want to be wrong. Yeah. And so Right. We listen to understand and we clarify, we check in. You know, when you communicate, you have a receiver and you have a sender, but there's sometimes breakdown that happens in that message. So we'll check in and say, okay, this is what I heard. Is this what you mean? And we make sure we're really understanding what that person is trying to tell us, because it's important. It's important to listen and process through that.
Yeah. Well, in fact, you're absolutely right, Kristen. And one author, my friend, said it's a key to a marriage is communication. And communication is that what is being said is being received and understood. It's such an important thing in marriage. An illustration of that would be what's going on right now with airplanes. And you hear about the problems they've been having with the shortage of air traffic controllers or their fatigue factor and miscommunication on the runway when there might be two planes trying to take off at the same time, or one landing and one taking off, or one crossing the runway. And we see that on the news and we go, oh, how can that happen? Well, it happens because communication is communication. You know, we're human beings, and if we get fatigued and tired and whatever. But that's why it's important. I'm sure any pilot out there that's listening, you know that when you communicate with the tower, they sort of repeat back what you've said to make sure what you said is what they heard. And if not, then we have to be clarified. If it's important in flying a plane, which it certainly is, especially a plane I'm on, right, or you're on, it's going to be important as well in your marriage to be very clear what that means. What are you communicating? What are you saying? What's the message? Is it being understood? Taking those extra few minutes just to clarify a communication point can be life-changing in your marriage.
I did not know how to communicate with my wife. Almost 6 years, we were not intimate in any way, shape, or form. So then I sat down with her and talked to her about it, and now for the past month, it's like a whole new relationship and a whole new marriage. Thanks for everything that you do, and I can say for sure that being intentional with your program saved my marriage.
If you've ever wondered if supporting intentional living makes any difference at all, there's a very happy couple in St. Louis that are living examples of what God is doing. Become a monthly member of Intentional Living today at theintentionallife.com.
Thank you for that reminder. And we leave that out there because when you do, you're making a real significant difference in someone's life. And I'm not asking you to do something my wife and I don't do. We support the ministry on a regular basis as well because we believe in it. We believe in what's going on here with all the team and the resources and behind the scenes. We got a team that putting together blogs, and we put together our podcast and lots of cool stuff online, and so many creative people. It's a joy to be a part of it. And I get to just come in and talk. I get to talk. Ministry of words. All right. My wife reminds me sometimes I have too many words. She may be right. All right. Anyway, we're talking about marriage today, and I was looking at some statistics last night from the Pew Research Center and others, reminding us about the decline in interest in marriage in America. It's been on the decline because the younger generation coming up, I think they see what's been going on and wonder why is it worth it. They have different choices. It feels old-fashioned to them. They've seen examples that did not work in their own life, and of course, that's a problem. And so it can be a real issue. And so we're just asking you all to share with us something that is really making a difference in your marriage to help someone listening today that needs that encouragement and the shot in the arm today. All right. Destiny is in Georgia. Hi there, Destiny. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your question or comment today? Go right ahead.
Okay. So I am the one struggling to keep faith in my marriage. Sorry, I'm trying not to cry.
All right.
I think I know that this is what God wants, and I know that keeping him in the center is the only thing keeping this together. We've only been married a year. I'm 27. He's 31. We're that younger generation who seen my mom was married 5 times. My dad's been married a couple times. His mother and father are gone. And so here we are with voices, my family, around us, you know, telling me not to keep this marriage. And it's a battle because I'm trying to silence the voices and trust God.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do. Let me ask this, Destiny. What is the main problem in your marriage with this 31-year-old husband of yours?
Okay, so I've been following Christ for about 5 years. We met and got married very quickly. He's saved now. He got saved and we got baptized together. But he struggled with bondage and he struggled with, what is the word I'm looking for? When you try to control somebody. That spirit of control and jealousy is on him really bad, and it's pushing me away.
All right, now let me ask you, does he recognize it? Have the two of you talked about this together?
I don't think that he recognizes it. It's hard. The communication, it's very hard to communicate with him.
Are you separated right now?
Kind of, but not really.
Kind of, not really.
We separated about a month and a half ago. I let him come back home. That was a lot. And then I let him come back, and everything was fine for a couple of days. And then all of the things that touched me, you know, that helped me make the decision to separate, come right back.
All right, let me ask you, Destiny. Does he want to be married to you, and do you want to be married to him?
He does me. I don't him.
All right.
To be honest.
So he wants to be married. Is he kind of lost in what the problem is?
If he what? I'm sorry.
Is he kind of lost in what the issue is? Is he trying to figure out what's going on with Destiny?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Have you guys been in counseling together?
We did in the beginning. We took marriage counseling in the beginning. We went through some things at that church. That church ended up not being the church for us, and we left that church and went to a different church. And no, right now we are not.
All right. By the way, I'm glad you're listening. It sounds like you're moving along there, maybe driving and hands-free with that your mic. But anyway, Destiny, listen to me. There are people all around the country who are going to be praying for you. I know that. That's just their heart. They're people of prayer. And you're right. You got to be careful who speaks into your life. Now, there could be some wisdom from your parents or concern from you and your family, and they're concerned of what they see. But at the end of the day, this is a decision. This is something between you and your spouse and God. And it's very clear that, you, in my view at least, he wants to be married, but you don't. But you don't enough to say, I'm not calling Randy, I'm just getting divorced. There's not enough don't in it that you're willing to just go and do it. There's something that's speaking to you saying, hey, maybe I need to slow this down a little bit and get a better perspective or a different perspective. That is wise. You're 27 years old. He's 31. You've been married. It ain't working right now. You're not alone. This happens to a lot of couples. Different problems, same sort of theme, right? And so I'm going to tell you what I would tell anybody else. If you're my 27-year-old daughter, I would say to you, listen, right now you need to get some positive counsel in your life. You need to find counsel in your life. Now your family's spoken into your life. You know where they're coming from. Go find a godly believer, counselor, psychologist, pastor's wife, and sit down, lay the proverbial cards on the table, what you're experiencing, what's happening, and that I would encourage you and your husband to get in counseling. And if your husband is listening at all, I would say to him, you better wake up, because your wife, you're not getting whatever your wife's putting down here. And you better get what she's putting down and figure it out if you want your marriage to work. That's why I ask. If he doesn't, then, hey, you got two people who don't want to have the marriage work. That's a tough hill to climb. But if you're willing to walk together and walk that hill together and make some changes in your life, God is a God of restoration. I've been around long enough, a destiny, to see couples like you come back to me 4 or 5 years later or even a year later and say, wow, God did an amazing thing in our life. We got on our knees before him and each other. We confessed, we made changes, and we've decided to be different people in this relationship. It's easy to walk away, but I got testimonies I could play if we had time of people who said, I wish I hadn't. I wish I'd taken a little bit longer to get some help. Now, let me add, that doesn't mean that problems are not to be addressed. They have to be addressed. There are issues. This is like a cancer. You got pain, you got to deal with it. But you don't want to necessarily, you know, kill the patient. You want to cure the illness. And in this case, it's your marriage. So people will be praying for you, not only from Georgia, but all around the country, Destiny. Hang on. I want to send you a book. Would you send Destiny a copy of Hijacked Emotions, that series that we have, Stephen? And hopefully that'll be encouragement to you. All right. We ran out of time. Sorry that we couldn't get to everybody today, but you can leave your comments on our storyline. Love to hear from you. What is God speaking to you? What is God telling you? What have you learned about marriage? 888-888-1717. Some of you, when you call that number, will press number 2 to talk to our team upstairs and come and join the family with us. And I want to say thank you in advance. Your support's making a huge difference. Or you can go online. We have plenty of free resources. You can get access to our podcasts, our live programs and our past programs, articles and blogs, all of that available. To our Facebook friends, thank you for joining us today from all around the world, literally. And as I say every day, would you take a moment and share with someone else? Hit that share button and share with them the Ministry of Intentional Living. You can be an ambassador when you do that today. For the entire team here, from Jennifer, Gino, and Stephen, thank you for being a part of Intentional Living. On behalf of my lovely wife, Donna, and our entire family, and all of the supporters of this ministry, we thank you for being a part of the program today, allowing us to speak into your life a little bit on what it means to live intentionally in Christ, to figure out what pleases him and then do it. This is Intentional Living. It's a ministry of Intentional Life Media. Have a great day.